We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis reading from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, September the 9th, we continue our series, This Week in Pop American Christianity. How would you know, if you're sitting in church Sunday by Sunday, whether or not your pastor, the preacher up there, is preaching from the Bible or simply giving you his own personal opinions? It's a good question. Hopefully, by the end of our time with Pastor Chris Rosebrough, you have a better idea of how to answer that very question. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to hear examples of this, but give us an answer in a nutshell. How would someone know whether or not their pastor, their preacher, is preaching opinions rather than Scripture?
Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. And this is going to take somebody doing a little bit of work. They need to listen carefully to the sermon, and they need to listen with an open Bible. And ask just a simple question, is what my pastor's saying, what this text that he's preaching on, is this what it means? That's, if you were to boil it down, that's a great test, and you will be able to detect a lot of people who are preaching their own opinions rather than what Scripture says just by answering that question. And in our segments today, we're going to try to identify, telltale signs, if you would. These aren't all of them, but these are some of the more common ones. Telltale signs that somebody is preaching or teaching to you their own opinions rather than what God's Word says.
You brought several examples, beginning with Brian Houston. Just refresh our memory. Who is this guy? He's big time, right?
Yeah, Brian Houston's huge. Brian Houston is the vision casting leader of Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia. And he's the leader of the whole Hillsong movement, if you would. They're a growing movement of churches now under the Hillsong umbrella. And we're going to be listening to a portion of, literally the opening portion, a minute and 40 seconds of a sermon that he preached just a couple weeks ago. And just for this exercise, for this soundbite, see if you can note how many times. You might want to make a hashtag or something, a hash sign or whatever. Just make a little tick of how many times you hear him say these words. I think, I believe, I don't think, I don't believe. Because every time he says those words in this open, segment, what follows is not a biblical teaching, but actually Brian Houston's own opinions. We'll let him explain.
I want to talk to you, the builder. I believe men are created to build. I believe it's the will of God for us to be builders in our lives. I just think that we're created for building. Building, I think, is something that we inherit from God Himself, because God has always been into building. We're made in His image, and if I look at God, I see a builder from the time of creation where He made stuff. He made the heavens and He made the earth. God has always built. And I believe that we're made to build. And I believe that every single one of us can ask ourselves the question, what am I really building in my life? What am I really building? Because I don't think we can ever know fulfillment if we don't know the importance of building in life. And building, I'll explain, can relate to a whole lot of different areas of life. But I do believe God has called you to be a builder. I think men's two greatest needs, one is connection, everything from intimacy and relationship with God Himself to our own personal intimacy with our wife, with the person we love, through to friendship, mateship, partnership. I believe that's a great need. And the other one is building. By building, I mean building, creating, growing. I think that we're created to achieve. I believe we're created to acquire, not just acquire stuff, but in terms of position, promotion, opportunity. And I don't think that that's anything less than God's purpose for our lives. He wants us to build.
All right, Chris, I counted 13.
Yeah, I got 13 too. I mean, that's 1 minute and 40 seconds of a sermon. And that was the machine gun of personal opinions, which is exactly the wrong thing for any pastor to do. Scripture is very clear about this. When you read the pastoral epistles, for instance, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul charges young pastor Timothy, in light of Christ's imminent return, that he is to preach the word in season and out of season. The job of a pastor is to preach God's word. Christ himself, in the Great Commission, says that all authority has been given to him, and as we are going, we are to be making disciples, baptizing, and teaching all that Christ has commanded. There's a body of work that we have been given by God himself and told by Christ that we are to be about teaching as Christians. And when during sermon time, when the sermon time comes up, when the church gathers for word and sacrament, they are not to be engaging or listening to their pastor's opinions. The pastor needs to put his opinions away. He has a right to them, but they are not to be expressed and viewed during a sermon. That's when Christ is speaking, and only what Christ has commanded and taught in the doctrines of Scripture are to be opened and shared and used for the building up and the tearing down of the saints, tearing down of false doctrine and self-righteousness, building up in sound doctrine and good works and love towards neighbor. And so, a pastor is to be aggressive in working through his sermon manuscript and editing out, mercilessly all of his opinions, because that is not the time for him to be expressing his opinions. He is to be opening up the Word of God. And so the fact that we had 13 instances in a minute and 40 seconds, and that's just the opening of the sermon of Brian Houston saying, I think, I believe, I don't think, I don't believe, and expressing opinion after opinion after opinion, shows that he is not a disciplined pastor at all, and he was engaging in something that Scripture actually tells him he's not to be doing.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest when we come back. We'll continue this week in Pop American Christianity, talking about the preaching of opinions rather than of Scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. After we conclude our conversation with Chris in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it'll be time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play 4 sound bites for you. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. By the way, you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page right now, facebook.com/issuesetc, or via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter, @issuesetc. More this week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough right after this.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Coming up this Sunday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday evening at 8 Central, you'll hear that Bach cantata, Cantata 95, Christ, He is My Life, at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. These weekly Bach cantatas are brought to you every Sunday, commercial-free, by the Substitute Organist Service. This is a service run from an iPad or tablet that can, when need be, substitute for your real live organist. If your organist is on vacation or ill, or you don't have an organist, and it is not canned music, it is in fact a way of a professional organist, without sitting at your organ bench, through the use of the Substitute Organist Service, play your organ in your church, the hymns, the liturgy, everything. Find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about preaching opinions rather than scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, you have another example here. Who is going to bring us these next two examples of preaching opinions?
All right. It is somebody who's very popular in the charismatic and evangelical movements. Her name is Lisa Bevere. And I think it's important for us to remember that church services and sermons are not the only places where we are taught Christian doctrine. And so when somebody is teaching their opinions as if it is Christian doctrine, we must be alert to the fact that although we may not be sitting in a divine service or being in our church at the time, that we are being taught doctrine. And so we need to listen very carefully, even when we're listening to Christian radio. So we're going to be listening to an interview that Lisa Bevere did regarding her forthcoming book, Without Rival, as she's discussing this with the Charisma Connection the radio program. And this is going to be in two parts. The first one, we're going to listen very carefully to how this method of preaching or teaching your own opinions works. The first move is to establish that the person who is speaking has the authority of God behind them, but it's done in a way that is quite unique. We'll let Lisa explain.
Well, okay, so I need to kind of tell you how this whole concept of without rival even came to pass. I had just traveled home from South Korea, and I was actually finishing up the manuscript, Girls with Swords, and I fell asleep at my laptop because I woke up, and it was 8 pages of the letter T. I was like, okay, I am going to go lay down. I am obviously too tired to be doing anything with this, and so I was laying down on my bed, just falling asleep, when I heard the Holy Spirit say something, Dr. Green, that riveted me so much.
Tell us.
I woke up, I was like, what in the world? That's blasphemy. This is what I heard. I heard the Holy Spirit say, I do not love my children equally. I sat up and I said, wait, you have to love us all the same. And I heard back, I don't. He said, same would mean that one of you were replaceable or interchangeable. And he said, I assure you, none of my children are. He said, equal would mean that my love could be measured. And he said, my love is immeasurable. He said, I do not love my children equally. I love them uniquely.
So, Chris, what was the, apart from the content of the revelation she claimed to have received directly from the Holy Spirit, what was the subtle assertion she's making there about her reception of revelation?
That she is a prophetess, that she hears directly from God, and God speaks directly to her conversationally quite often. So the assumption is that if God is speaking to her this way regularly, then the assumption is that because of that, she has a unique relationship with God, and therefore what she says on other things must also be true because she has the backing of God behind her. Because, I mean, after all, if she were teaching false doctrine, God the Holy Spirit would you know, pick up the phone and call her directly and let her know that what she's saying is not true. And so because God hasn't done that, that assumes, therefore, everything she tells us must be true. So the first move then in preaching your opinions in this way of doing it is to establish the authority of the person giving the opinion and basically take God's name and stick it on that person so that when this person is speaking, we can say they're speaking authoritatively because of their special gift or their prophecy or their relationship with God. Therefore, everything that they say has to also be correct. And so that's the first move. The second move, then, is to actually contradict the Scripture, which is what people who behave this way often do. And Lisa Bevere is one of these people within evangelicalism who is an advocate for women being pastors. And so now that we've established that she hears from God directly, she can now state her opinions regarding the status of women in the church, and it will be viewed as not just an opinion, but also having the authority of God behind it.
Basically, women compare with one another and measure themselves by one another.
Yeah.
And there is this image that is constantly fighting them that says you will never be enough. And so they strive to bow down to this image to become what they think will earn them value. And so they are demeaning themselves. And I will say that I believe some of the fault lands on the lap of the church. When the church tells the daughters that they can find their value anywhere and everywhere except for in the house of God,
mm-hmm.
then there is a problem.
Yes.
Somehow, I don't know how this translates, but somehow men have really almost embraced, I heard a pastor say this weekend, almost like a Muslim Christianity, where mm-hmm. women have value everywhere but the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're kind of redeemed, but not fully redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
Adam is fully redeemed, Eve is only partially redeemed. And so what you see is this gender competition going on. You hear comments from major church planning leaders say things like women are gullible, they're unfit, they're easily deceived, they take the words of Paul and distort their application.
Right.
And, you know, Dr. Green, I've been a Christian now since I was 21 and I'm 56 now. And here's the thing. I have been unfit. And I have been gullible, and I have been deceived in my past, all of those things, just as any man has as well.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Christ makes me fit.
That's right.
And if I am not wise, then the Word of God gives me discerning so I can rightly divide, and the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom. And so I think for a long time I was content to let those labels be spoken over me. But once I started to see it contained the daughters, once I saw that that would be a sign to my granddaughters, I was like, if I don't want it spoken over them, I cannot allow it to be spoken over me.
Preach that.
God. Yeah.
That's
it's
strong.
The truth.
Okay, so what happened there, Chris?
All right, so we established that she hears directly from God, and then she goes on a tirade. She gives her opinions and engages in some pretty crazy rhetoric, you know, that apparently men in Christianity have embraced a Muslim Christianity. And what she has done is she's totally torn down what it is that the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 are extremely clear that women do not hold the pastoral office, that they are not to have authority over a man, and she totally bypasses what the written Word of God says, and because she hears from the Holy Spirit and is somebody whom God talks to directly, therefore her opinions must have some weight behind them, like God's weight behind them. This is the new thing that he's doing, but all the time she was teaching her own opinions as if they rise to the level of Christian doctrine, because, of course, God the Holy Spirit gives her wisdom and hasn't corrected her in this matter, and she believes that this is just a terrible thing, that Christians have embraced this Muslim form of Christianity. We might as well be putting burqas on our women because we don't allow them to be pastors. And yet what was missing in all of that was a careful exegesis of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14. In fact, what she did was basically circumvent any discussion of what God the Holy Spirit has actually revealed in the written word of God by claiming for herself the ability to hear God's voice directly apart from his word, and then giving her opinions and claiming that if she's not believing, if she's not saying what's true, that God the Holy Spirit would give her wisdom, and God hasn't corrected her on this. Therefore, it must be what God wants. But all the while, what she's really doing is preaching her own opinions rather than what God's word says.
So in the example from Brian Houston of Hillsong, he just was flat out coming out and say, I think, I believe, I don't think, I don't believe. He was just coming out and making it quite obvious that there was nothing more to what he was saying than his opinions. And in her case, it's a little more subtle and probably a little more alluring to a Christian ear, where first she claims divine authority. Okay, I hear from God on a regular basis, so my opinion must count for something, even though you're not going to hear her say, I think, or any of those kind of things. She does say those things, but it's subtler, and it has kind of the icing on the cake of, oh, and by the way, my opinions count for something because the Holy Spirit talks to me all the time.
Yep, this is a perfect example of taking God's name in vain. In fact, that's actually what the commandment is referring to. It's the hijacking of the name of God, God's brand, if you would, and using it and putting it on your own doctrines, your own teachings, your own opinions, in order to try to pass it off as a genuine article. It's like when you're in New York City and, you know, somebody wants to sell you a Gucci handbag for $15, you're thinking, $15? How are you getting these for $15? Well, they're not. They've stolen the Gucci label and they've put it on an inferior product. That's exactly what she's engaging in here. She's breaking the commandment that says, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. She's taken God's name and she's slapped it on her opinions, but the maneuver is done so subtly that if you're not paying attention to how it's done, you'll miss how the commandment is being broken in that sense.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about preaching opinions rather than Scripture. He brought some examples. When we come back, another example or two from Katie Souza. Going to be talking about getting miracles while you sleep. It almost sounds like losing weight while you sleep. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
He's simply obsolete, that he's gone, dead, buried. If you're a forward-thinking person in any way, you recognize that as a fact, but it is not a fact.
To some degree, she beat Gloria Steinem, but lost to Madonna and lost to MTV.
On the one hand, I'm doing everything I need to do, and God must be proud of me. And then most of the time, on the other hand, oh boy, God must be upset because of my failures. And this pendulum of pride and despair is an unease, an unrest.
Well, the real thing is what's in your heart, spiritual things, not these external things we do. And Luther is turning that on its ear and saying the outward things are how God works in our lives.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites played in their entirety, we'll play them for you. Then you give us a call and vote for the one you think ought to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address at issuesetc. Or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about preaching opinions rather than scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. You have two more examples for us here, both of them from Katie Souza. Who is she?
Katie Souza is a person who is part of the XP Media Group, and she has got a television program that will be starting up on Christian television very shortly. And I can't say anything theologically good about her. She's probably one of the strangest women I've ever listened to. And we're going to be hearing her explain to us a doctrine that she's created, and the doctrine is that God wants to perform miracles in your life while you sleep. And the basis for this, well, I'll let her explain.
So let's get right into the teaching. This is called Miracles in the Night, and the way that this teaching came about was honestly through years of my own experiences with God doing miracles while I slept or while I took a nap, or I would get a visitation in the night or a dream or a vision that would answer a problem, would fix a situation, that would give me a healing. And I kept on experiencing that over and over and over again. And people are like, oh, that's, you can't have that. That's totally unbiblical. It's heresy, Kate, blah, blah, blah. A lot of times we think we have to work super hard for a miracle to happen, for our dream to happen, for a manifestation to happen. We need to work really hard for it. And I totally believe in partnering with God, in worship, in making decrees, in exercising our faith, in doing things like that. And I believe in all of that. I do. I think that that's some of the many ways to position yourself to get a miracle. But I think too that God sees how exhausted we are, and he knows that we need grace. We need him to come and visit us in the middle of our exhaustion, in the middle of when we're desperate, and the middle of when we're in need.
Okay, so what she's saying there, so when we hear from her again here, we got a proper basis for what opinion she's putting forward. She already said
Okay. She's
preaching heresy.
Well, she noted that in passing, and she just kind of wrote it off as blah, blah, blah. But what we're dealing with here is the person who basically has taken their experiences, all right, their life experiences, and their life experiences now are rising to the level of creating doctrines. And so she's pointing to the fact, well, over the years, I've had all kinds of miracles happen to me while I slept. Therefore, there must be a Christian doctrine here for the whole body of Christ, and the doctrine is that God wants to perform miracles in the night for you, too, because that's how it's worked in my experience. And what's so funny to me is that you listen to evangelical sermons over and over and over again. The pastor will point to his life experiences as the proof that such and such a teaching is correct, Or this another form that it takes then is the form of Christian testimonies. We know that our church is advancing the kingdom of God because we had testimony night or a testimony video of somebody who, before they came, their life was a wreck. They came here, and now things have gotten better in their lives. Therefore, that experience shows that what we're teaching, what we're believing, is all on the level. No, your experiences actually do not create doctrine, nor do they rise to the level of determining whether or not your church is confessing historic biblical Christian orthodoxy. And so, you know, what she did there is she engaged in, you know, basically pointing to her experiences as the foundation for the doctrine she's teaching, which is another form of preaching your own opinions. But the next soundbite is very short, but it demonstrates the next major way in which Christians are taught to believe their own opinions as truth. And I'll let Katie Sousa explain.
I'm trying to think of the exact scripture. Yes, here it is. This is so cool. Listen to this scripture. I love this. This is Psalm 17:15. It says, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Did you hear that? It says, "I should be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That, to me, one of the things that that can mean is, while you're asleep, God is visiting you, he's forming you, he's healing you, he's fashioning you, so that when you awake from your sleep, you will awake in his likeness.
Is that how we're supposed to handle the Bible, Chris?
No, but this is how many small group Bible studies handle the Bible. And here's how it works. You read a verse, and then you go around the room and you ask this question: what does this verse mean to you? And what ends up happening is that everybody subjectivizes the meaning of the verse based upon their own life and their own experiences, rather than asking the question that really needs to be answered: what does the verse mean? Why did God have that penned by this inspired author, and what was the meaning? What is the meaning of this text? And so, the other way in which people preach their own opinions or teach their own opinions is by saying, "This verse means to me, therefore one of its potential meanings must be this." No, when you put Psalm 17:15 back in context, it is not at all talking about the doctrine of receiving miracles in the night. It's actually talking about, it's David, you know, projecting into the future when he awakes at the resurrection and he beholds Christ face to face. That's what Psalm 17:15 is about and what it means. It has nothing to do with what she did, but her hermeneutic is, what does this verse mean to me? And that's a way in which people are taught, you know, people's opinions rather than what Scripture says.
So let's just put a bow on that particular part of this conversation by noting that many, many Christians simply do not operate any longer with the category of what does this text mean. They're left only with what it means to me. I mean, that's what life is all about. It's about whatever it means to me, maybe different from what it means to you, Chris. But the very concept of objective meaning of a text is almost entirely lost in Christendom in some sectors.
Yeah, this is absolutely true. And the reality is that we don't do this with our emails or the letters we write to our friends or even our social media posts. When we write something, we, the author, are trying to communicate something. There's meaning behind our words. And we don't like it when people misunderstand what it is that we're saying. And yet, as a whole, many Christians in evangelicalism are taught to subjectify the text and pay no attention to what God is communicating. Instead, just ask the question, what does it mean to me? And once you lay that question down, the Bible has no meaning anymore. It's become silly putty, and you can bend it into any shape or size that you want, rather than pay attention to what it is that God has actually said and revealed in it.
What I see here, Chris, is kind of what's your starting point. With Brian Houston, his starting point is just, I think. He just has an idea or an opinion and blatantly starts there when he wants to preach to his congregation. With Lisa Bevere, it might have been, her starting point is, I hear from God. God has revelations to me. And then finally here with Katie Souza, her starting point was her experience. There's got to be something better than my opinion, than thinking God talks to me or basing my theology on what happens to me on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and it's the written word of God. And we know from Scripture, what it speaks of itself, that none of what we see in the Bible actually has its origin in the mind of the person who actually wrote the biblical text. Peter talks about this explicitly, that every one of the biblical authors wrote these things as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, has communicated to us in human language a message that we can understand. And the Bible tells us what's gone wrong in our lives as a race, and what God has done to save us. It teaches us what it is to believe rightly and how to order our steps in our lives in love towards neighbor. And so what God has revealed there is so much better and more compelling and actually salvific and edifying than any human being's opinions. And when somebody is preaching their own opinions, what they're doing is they're wasting your time. Because what you really want to be listening to, who you really want to be listening to, is Christ himself. And you will hear his voice in the pages of Scripture as they're rightly understood, and when you search for the meaning that God has put into the text, rather than trying to subjectify it or ignore it because it contradicts your own opinions.
So, finally here, some advice to preachers. You gave us a little at the beginning, but with that, what did you say, mercilessly edit from your sermons?
Yeah, no, and this is not my own thoughts. I mean, Walther talks this way. CFW Walther talks this way. Pastors, when you prepare your manuscripts, or Bible study leaders, or whoever you know is listening, when you sit down and you prepare your sermon or your lesson, you make sure that you write that thing down, and then step away from it for a little bit of time, and then come back and get that red marker out. And start editing everything out of that manuscript that is your own opinion based on experience, or is some kind of subtle form of manipulation. And just ask yourself this question: is what I'm teaching what this text means? And if it doesn't, get rid of it. And you'll find that when you start doing that, then you will be faithfully communicating the true sense of God's word to the people that you are serving.
One other concern here that I have before I let you go, Chris, and that is I find this not only in Pop American Christianity, I sometimes find it even among fellow Lutheran pastors, where if you stop and look at, they might have the text read before the sermon, but if you stop and actually listen to what they're preaching, it does veer very quickly into kind of testimonial. This is what happened in my life, and then I'm going to kind of spin a few applications out for you from my personal experience. Is there any place for that?
No, there isn't. In fact, not only is there no place for that, that's actually working from a false assumption. That's an example of the theology of glory or triumphalism, that somehow Christianity is a religion that exists to make your life better, and the testimonial is the thing that kind of seals the deal and convinces you that you need to apply these steps so that you can experience victory in your life. That's totally different than repentance and the forgiveness of sins, taking up your cross and following Christ and participating in his suffering. So what you describe there is actually a fundamental error which confuses Christianity or twists Christianity into a, Jesus is going to help you experience triumph in your life. That is not the theology of the cross. That is the theology of glory.
Before we let you go, what are you going to be teaching tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We are going to be talking about the New Apostolic Reformation and kind of the basic tenets of it so that people can identify what it is and how to warn people about its dangers.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. today in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners. We'll be listening to the Issues Etc. sound bites that we've assembled this week, 1, 2, 3, 4. You listen along with us, and then you give us a call, and your votes will determine which of the four sound bites will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week this week. Also giving away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Get ready to listen to the four soundbites and then get ready to vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Send us your vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter @issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, right after the break.
Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.